Hey, hello again. It's myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth Podcast. And I'm glad you're with us today. It's good to have you here. And if you like what I say, hey, feel free to forward this message to as many people as you'd like. If there's any preachers listening and I say anything that is helpful, could be helpful to you, please feel free to use it. I want to talk this morning or this afternoon or this evening, whichever you're in. I want to talk about the Lamb's blood. In the Bible, which is able to make us wise unto salvation, the blood is mentioned at least 460 times. You know, humanly speaking, the blood is a phenomenon. I mean, it transports oxygen and it fights disease and it assists in getting rid of waste products. And in the average human being, it circulates around us every 2 minutes. And every what's a cubic millimeter? Well, that's a speck the size of a pinhead. And every speck of blood the size of a pinhead has millions of cells in it. Oh, listen, the blood in human life, and it's essential. It's essential. Without it, we die. But here, without it in our spiritual life, we die. Yeah, it's essential. And I'm here to tell you about the Lamb's blood. Who's the Lamb? I'm glad you asked that. The Lamb is the Lord Jesus. Isn't he lovely? When Jesus died, he poured out his blood. He poured out his life. He shed his blood. And to shed his blood meant death. He died. He died for his people. There was an old poet, Tennyson. Many of you have heard of him. And here's a little story about him I discovered a little while ago. And he was staying in Norfolk, in a guest house in Norfolk. And the lady of the house said, how are you today? And she, Mr. Tennyson, he said, I'm fine. I'm just staying here a few days. What's the news? And she looked at him and says, why, Mr. Tennyson, haven't you heard? There's but one bit of news, and that is that Christ died for our sins. He shed his blood for us. That, said Tennyson, is old news. Aye, but it's new news, and it's good news. There you are. I love that. Old news. The shed blood is old news, but it's new news, and it's good news. And I want to, if we have time, I want to consider these three things about the blood, the Lamb's blood. It's old news, it's new news, and it's good news. And I want to say that the Lamb's blood is, number one, it's precious. Second thing I want to say is the Lamb's blood purchases, it's purchasing blood. The last thing I want to say is that the blood is peacemaking blood. Now, for our first part, I'd like to read 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and verse 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain lifestyle or conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. We were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Oh, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Precious. What makes something precious? Well, if it's scarce, it's precious. Now think of the Atlantics of blood which have flowed through the human veins. Only a few pints which flowed in Christ's veins could wash away sin. That's why it's precious. And at the close of a gospel service some years ago, there was The man had been, the minister had been preaching away at his heart's content about the gospel. And a young man came up to him afterwards and said, oh, he says, I don't see, he was English. This happened in England. Oh, he says, I do not see any necessity for the blood of Christ in my salvation. I can be saved without believing in his shed blood. Well, the minister said, how do you propose to be saved? Oh, says the fellow, by following Christ's example. That's enough for any man. The minister said, well, I suppose it is. But do you actually propose to do that in your life? Oh, yes, I do. I'm sure that's enough. That would be enough for any man to follow Christ's example. Well, that's very interesting. And just to make sure that you begin in the right way, let's look at the Bible and see something about Christ's example and Christ's character and get some insight there. Oh, well, very well. And so the minister turned to 1 Peter 2:22, which simply says about Christ Jesus, who did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. And the minister looked at the young man and said, I suppose you can say that of yourself. The young fellow choked and was embarrassed. And he said, well, not exactly. I couldn't say I've done no sin. Well, if you're going to follow Jesus' example, you've got to do no sin. Have no guile found in your mouth. And you don't need, here, if you've sinned, you don't need an example. You need a Savior. Yes, a Savior. Have you sinned? Have you ever sinned? Well, I've lived clean, you say. Well, what about your thought life? Have you sinned in your thought life? Have you sinned in your attitude towards your brothers and sisters, to your parents, to your children? Have you sinned? Have you loved God with all your heart? You haven't. You've sinned, and you need a Savior, and there is a Savior. He is willing to save. He's a wonderful Savior, and he's gone to the cross and poured out his blood. So, by the way, the young man got saved later that night. How did he get saved? He got saved by trusting in Jesus, trusting that Jesus is who he says he is and has done what the Bible says he's done. Hey, the blood is precious, and it's only the precious blood that can save. You know, for the blood to cleanse us, it's got to be clean itself. That's why angels couldn't save. No harm to the Jehovah's Witnesses. I've met many Jehovah's Witnesses think they're nice people. But they think Jesus was an angel. But an angel doesn't have blood. No angel can save you. No blood. They're disqualified. Even good men are disqualified. Moses, now he was a good man. Couldn't he? Surely he could redeem us. Look, what a man of God. He lived by the law, a man of righteousness, unbending righteousness. Yes, that's all true about Moses, but he was a murderer. He's disqualified. He's not pure. What about Abraham? Oh, Abraham was the father of those who believe. Yeah, he was. Is he qualified? No. Because he was a liar and a bigamist. Oh, a polygamist, I'm sorry. He's disqualified. Well, what about David, that sweet singer of Israel? Yeah, he's not qualified, for he was an adulterer and a murderer. What about Noah? Noah, I mean, the Lord chose him to save the world. Yeah, he was a great man of faith. Yes, imagine being laughed at all the time building that ark. Yes, he's not qualified. Why is that? Well, read his story. He lay in his tent drunk. Hey, disqualified. Isaiah, what about him? The lofty, majestic, wonderful Isaiah, who was martyred, tradition says. He was put inside a hollow log and sawn in two. Yeah, surely he's qualified. No. He says of himself, he says, I am a man of unclean lips. Well, what about the Virgin Mary? Could she not redeem us? Well, no, she said, my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. Only sinners need a Savior. And the only sinless blood that can save is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The old poem says, "Before the cross in awe I stood, beholding brow and pierced hand. For me it was he bled and died. No other price for sin beside could pay the price for me. His precious blood there flowing red was love's best gift, most freely shed. No one but he the price could pay or save from death and point the way for sinners, you and me." Yes, it's the precious blood. Do you know what it is to have it applied to your life? Why don't you write, "I trust in the Lord Jesus. Trust him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." But not only do we see this about the blood, that it was precious, it was also purchasing. 1 Peter 1:18, we read that. Verse 19, it was purchasing. Purchasing blood. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, talks about the blood we have been bought with a price. Look, the blood doesn't just make us salvable, savable. The blood doesn't just make it possible for us to be saved. Our salvation, actually, in our salvation, Christ bought us, paid for us. You know, old Spurgeon, he asks, "How can we speak of redemption with dry eyes?" I wonder sometimes about me. Sometimes my heart is hard. Listen, how can we speak about Jesus without tears? Him going to the cross, he shed his blood to buy our souls, to purchase our souls from hell and damnation. We ought to be overwhelmed with adoration and love when we think of him. Oh, yes. I didn't just look at bought when by the blood when I believed. No, I was bought at Calvary, and therefore I believed. The old hymn again says, "Jesus, Master, whose I am, purchase thine alone to be, by thy blood, O spotless Lamb, shed so willingly for me. Let my heart be all thine own. Let me live to thee alone." You see, we're not our own. We're bought with a price. We've been redeemed. That's a picture of a slave market. And there we were in the slave market, and Jesus went in and purchased us with his blood. Well, why did he do that? Well, because we couldn't do it ourselves. We were lost and helpless, slaves to sin. And the second reason is he loves us madly, passionately, thoroughly, fully, loves us. Oh, yeah. He's a wonderful Savior. And we have ceased to be our own. We now are called to glorify him. As the old catechism says, what is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify. That's the answer. To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Oh, I will sing of my Redeemer. Can you ever sing it? I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. Oh, sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my acquittal. He paid the debt and made me free. You know, the most important thing in your life is that you have been bought by the blood. That's the believer I'm talking to. You've been bought by the blood. The most important thing about your future is that you've been bought by the blood. In heaven, do you know what your theme song will be and our theme song will be, every one of us bought with the blood? We'll sing, "For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." Oh, somebody say amen. Oh, yes. It won't be important then whether you were rich or poor here on earth. No. The most important thing is that you will have been bought by the blood. What about you? What about you? Have you been bought by the blood? Have you trusted Christ? Next thing, in fact, the last thing I want to mention is the blood is peacemaking blood. You see that in Colossians 1 and verse 20. The blood of Christ, when Christ hung upon the cross and poured out his blood, he made peace between ourselves and God. The cross of Christ, therefore, is the meeting place. Christ is the meeting place. Christ is the meeting place. The God-man is the meeting place. And he has reconciled us and brought peace. Now, that's not a truce. It's better than a truce. In a truce, hostilities could break out at any time. Oh, but not when peace has been given. Peace. The war is over. I like old Horatius Bonner. He wrote this: I hear the words of love. I gaze upon the blood. I see the mighty sacrifice. And I have peace with God. Do you believe? Oh, listener, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you put your trust in him? Why don't you say it here, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've sinned, I've failed. I've failed in life, I've failed you, I've failed people I love, I've failed. I'm a sinner. Take me and save me and wash all my sins. Let me know they're washed away. I believe in you, I'm trusted in you from now on. Yeah, you see, the sacrifice of Christ, let me explain this. None of the Jewish sacrifices could make a permanent peace with God. They made sacrifices in the Old Testament over and over and over again. But those sacrifices couldn't bring permanent peace. No, but when Christ shed his blood, he made peace. He poured out his life unto death and he brought peace. How wonderful. My God is reconciled. His pardoning voice I hear. He owns me as his child. I can no longer fear. With confidence, I now draw nigh. And Abba, Father, Abba, cry. How do we have confidence? We have confidence not in ourselves, not in our performance, but confidence in Christ Jesus. Do you know what it is to be at peace with God? No longer at war with God? Oh, he's right. I never was at war. Oh, yes, you were. So was I. All of us lawbreakers by nature. Couldn't keep the first of the Ten Commandments. Couldn't keep any of them, for that matter. We were rebels, stinking rebels, wanting to do our own thing, motivated by our own lusts and greeds. And that was us. Won't you admit it? Won't you admit it? Don't say I never was at war. Oh, yes, we were. Look, let me try and explain something about the holiness of God. Back in 1 Samuel 6:19, we get a solemn warning about those who try to approach God without the blood. They were transporting the mercy seat back into Israel. The Philistines had had it for a while. You can check out this story. 1 Samuel chapter 6. And they're bringing it back and it's been returned. And inside the ark, there's the tablets of law. And some nosy people decided to look and see what the tablets of the law looked like. And they opened the ark and it was disastrous. Disastrous. Death came. Thousands were killed. They looked into the ark. See, on top of the law was the lid, the mercy seat, and the blood was there. And they looked at God apart from the blood. They tried to approach God apart from the blood, and it was a disaster, and it will be a disaster for you if you approach God and say, look, Lord, I pray, thank God, I'm not like other men. I tithe, and I'm bold, and I'm good, and I'm a decent man, and I'm an honorable man. It'll be a disaster for you. Lady, it'll be a disaster for you. Oh my goodness. How we need the mercy seat sprinkled with blood. And all that happened back there is in 1 Samuel 6:19 is to show permanent peace had not arrived. Had not arrived. The blood had to be sprinkled every year. It had to be sprinkled. But when Christ came, he wasn't hidden. He wasn't buried in a box. He was set forth as a public spectacle to be a mercy seat for us. Romans 3, verse 25. Peace is now made. Hostilities are over. Christian, do you believe that? God's not mad at you. He loves you. He loves you and showed us what he's like in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to the cross and died for wayward strays such as us. The hostilities are over. Take a hold of that. Take a hold. And believer, take a hold of that. Non-believer, take a hold of that. The hymn writer says, if thou hast my discharge procured and freely in my room endured the whole of wrath divine, God, payment cannot twice demand, first at my bleeding surety's hands, and then again at mine. Oh yeah, the blood is precious. It is indeed. And the blood purchases. Yes, and the blood makes peace. But it needs to be applied. On Passover night, they took the blood of the lamb and they applied it to their doorposts. Wouldn't have been enough to have a wee lamb sitting outside the front door. No, would have saved nobody. Not enough to have a lamb outside the door. The blood had to be applied. And that is the gospel truth. Hey, listen, love to hear from you. Miles at milesmckee.com. And by the way, if you want to get a subscription, a free subscription to the Wednesday Word, always gospel packed, comes out every week, God willing, just write Miles at milesmckee.com. Write to me at that email address, Miles, M-I-L-E-S, at milesmckee.com. And just write subscribe. And I'll subscribe you to the Wednesday Word. If I can help you in any way with your spiritual walk with God, let me know. All right. And that is, again, the gospel truth.